For the last few weeks, I've been ministering on discernment, how we need to discern the whole world, actually. We should see everything through the eyes of God, and how we need to see what the enemy is doing, discern evil spirits. It's very much an important part of the Christian's ministry, because our battle isn't against flesh and blood. It's not against people, but against principalities and powers of darkness. And then last week I was speaking about how we need to discern what the Lord is doing. Primarily, that's our most important role, is to actually hear God speak to us, discern what he wants to do, and work with him in what he is doing. And this morning, I would like to speak on having the right people in the right plan. And how relationships are so important in God's plan for our lives. So I'm going to be speaking about God-given relationships this morning and discerning those who God has given, and maybe even discerning those who shouldn't be part of our closest inner circle. If you imagine that you know a lot of people, and in fact we are supposed to constantly be meeting new people to reach them for Jesus. But when you bring life down, we generally relate to a smaller amount of people around us, and those people are important. It's important that they are God's choice so that they can influence the purpose of God for your life, and you can influence the purpose of God for their lives. And we know the scripture, we've been quoting it for a few weeks, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. The Bible says that God has plans for us. Plans to prosper us, not to harm us. To give us a hope and a future. So God has plans for you. And that those plans will always include people. Because God always works with and through people. So God's plans are to do you good by teaming you up with the right people, whether it's marriage, friendships, church, other disciples, relationships, other followers of Jesus. We are called to have the God dimension in all of our close relationships. And God wants us to really home in on that today. And see with his eyes on his plan for our relationships. Our inner circle, kind of, you could say. Your closest relationships. In Luke chapter 6, let's just turn to the first scripture. And we look at Jesus, who is our perfect example of life. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. On one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray. And spent the night praying to God. That was a long night. Okay, so he took time out to be alone and to spend a whole night praying. Now, obviously, if you're going to spend a whole night praying, it's going to be about something really important. Okay, so Jesus is valuing time spent in prayer for this next move that he's about to make. And as he is praying, he must have heard God. He must have been sifting through who he was to do life with. And it says, when morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them. Now we know that we look at Jesus and we say, and of course he was absolutely perfect. But actually he lived with the limitations of a human being filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by God. He didn't do anything of himself, which means he didn't choose his own disciples. He didn't choose the people that God wanted closest around him. He prayed and relied on God to bring God's choice into his inner circle. And those 12 disciples, you see, We often judge a book by its cover. And particularly before you become a Christian, everything comes through the window of your soul. You kind of look at things and look at people. You say either they look nice, they sound nice, they've got money, they seem to have a bit of an intelligence and could have a good job. You kind of assess everything with the cover. But God has read the book. Right. He knows the book inside out. He knows every person inside out. And that's why Jesus himself relied on his Father to show him who the right choices were to be, to enable the plan or destiny of God to be fulfilled. After all, the reason you and I are on the earth is to fulfill a plan that God has for each one of us. And if we're going to fulfill the plan, we need to pray about the people who are closest to us. And only allow God's choice to be in the inner circle. Our destiny is tied up with the right people. Yes. Say that to somebody next to you. Your destiny is tied up with doing life with the right people. In every season of life, you might be sitting there today and saying, well, I've married, I've had kids, I've got grandkids, but your destiny is still tied up with doing life with the right people. We can't fulfill the plan of God without the right relationships, because purpose is always worked out with the right people. I need, and so do you, inside information. So I need to know the God who knows what's in the book. I need to know what God says about whoever I'm meeting, or whoever I'm really particularly committing to have relationship with, that actually I don't know very much about. And in the end, God sees what's in a person. And we need the eyes of God. We need to see as he sees. And how do you do that? You pray before you get going with choices in life. So before Jesus chose, he prayed. And so we need to back up into spending time praying, asking God, so that we can actually hear his voice. I am sure, like me, you have experienced what I call life-taking relationships. Have you ever experienced life-draining relationships? Manipulative people. Has anybody ever been so manipulated you feel worn out, tired out, and you haven't got time for the good that God wants you to do? Because all your time is spent on fighting and working through the bad. But on the other hand, I'm sure everybody here has experienced life-giving relationships. And I want to speak about life-giving relationships in the sense that they empower the purpose of God for your life. I love walking with those who God has called me to be with, those he chose, because I know that they call out my destiny, and I know that I call out theirs, so that together we work the plan of God for this time and this life. And so life-giving relationships and life-draining relationships have happened to all of us. Proverbs chapter 3. Turn to Proverbs, because this amazing little scripture that a lot of people know of by heart, if we do this, we end up being directed by the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths or make your paths straight. What an amazing promise. I mean, most of you out there are saying, Lord, I need to walk on the right path and go straight. I don't want to spend my life going around diversions and ending up hurt. I've been there and I don't want to repeat it. And so, Lord, I trust you. In other words, I depend on you, Lord, to make the right choices for me. Because I've tried and I got it wrong. So that's called trusting in the Lord, not yourself. With all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. So in other words, your brain, you may have information like Sherlock Holmes. You can do a lot of assessing of someone. But actually, assessment doesn't see the real picture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, in everything that you do in life, acknowledge Jesus. How do we do that? We pray, Lord, are you saying this? What do you say about this step? Is this your will for me? And then the promise is clear. I will direct you. I will direct your path. And I know that God wants to direct each one of us into the right place at the right time to be with the right people. And you may already be with some of the right people, but I am sure that others will come into our lives in the future, and we need discernment. We need to discern the voice of God for everything about our lives. See, I don't believe you just want a job. I believe you want a God-given job. I don't believe you just need a friend. I believe you need a God-given friend. I don't just believe you need a business deal. You need a God-given business deal. And there are so many people saying, just because it looks good, I'm going to do it. Whereas the successful Christian life is based on hearing his voice and following the shepherd. Jesus said, my sheep, hear my voice. But I think sometimes he might say, but are my sheep listening? Because you do hear my voice if you're a follower of Jesus. You've been designed to hear and be led by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. But sometimes we don't listen. And I think sometimes we're like children. I remember, this is my experience, and I've heard parents do it as well. Imagine a child saying to mum or dad, I want to go out and play. And the dad says, no, you can't, it's raining. And the kid goes, but I want to play. And the dad says, no, not for now, it's raining. And the kid says, on and on and on, I want to go out to play. I want to go out to play. I want to go out to play. I want to go out to play, to the point the parent goes, right, it's not my will, and I know it won't do you good, but because you want to go your own way, I'll let you. Isn't that true? I'll let you. And what happens? The child goes out, turns around, comes back and said, Daddy, it was wet out there. I told you. And sometimes I think we're like that with the Lord. We want certain things and we want them now. We're like that little child saying, I want, I want, I want. And eventually, you know, we get our own way. But it isn't God's way. But we're just forcing things to happen because we want them to happen. And that's why trust in the Lord with all your heart is such an important scripture. Because we need to be at a position or in a place with God where we're saying, the decisions, Lord, are up to you. You decide who I walk through life with. You make the choices. And I trust you with all my heart that you know the best plan, because you've got plans to prosper me relationally. plans to do me good, to give me a hope and a future. And so in that trusting, we must be prepared occasionally that what he wants kind of cuts across what we want. And at that point, will you say, your will be done, Lord, I trust you. Because God's got your best interests at heart. And not be like that little child going on and on and on and on about what you want. Yeah? So to hear God, really, we need to have that heart that says, I'll do what you say, Lord. Not, I'm here to pray and get my own way. So many people pray to get their own way, and actually God has a plan, and he won't just bend everything for you. He wants you to walk in his plans for your life. Sometimes we try and make people fit into our puzzle of life. Imagine doing a puzzle and you kind of get a bit and you get a bit impatient because you want the puzzle. You want the bit in there. And so you get the bit of the puzzle, and I've done this, and I've done it grown up, not just as a child, where I've got, because puzzles actually do. If you want to frustrate me, get a 1,000-piece puzzle. Because I'll be looking at it going, oh, do I have to do this? It's just not me. So never buy me a puzzle. If you love me. And it's like we try and get that to fit the shape that we want. And no matter how you push it in, no matter how you force it, it's always going to be a little bit hanging out. And it actually alters the whole picture because every other bit gets out of place because you've got the wrong bit there. And trying to make people fit what you know to be God's plan at times is an absolute disaster. At best, is something you just have to change. Take that piece out, put the right piece in. Yeah? And so forcing things to happen relationally is actually not the will of God. As soon as you try and force something, it's almost always not God. Did you hear that? As soon as you try and force something, it's almost not always the will of God. It really is something that you need to be careful of. Psalm 23, verse 2 says, he leads me beside quiet waters. He leads me beside quiet waters, not turmoil and confusion. And so don't you want to live in peace so that you can fulfill the plan of God, not turmoil and confusion? So God will lead you through peace. Do you have peace? Now, many years ago probably to you, but we'd planted the church, Pastor Andrew and I, in 2001. We moved down here to start the church. And I was still doing some itinerant ministry. Both of us were traveling. And we were praying about the work because we had a training center, Bible college, and just kicking off with the church, starting this work. And we were praying, and we needed God to give us somebody to help us in the ministry. And we were praying for that particular person. And I was still teaching up at Roffey Place, which is a Bible college in Horsham from Kingdom Faith, where Colin Urquhart is. And I met a girl up there, and she seemed to fit the puzzle of down here. And she wanted to fit as well. So I thought she fit, we thought she fit, and she felt she fit. And so we decided to check things out before she moved down here and take her on a mission trip to Northern Ireland. And so we went on this mission trip to Northern Ireland, and we began to pray with together, the three of us. And do you know what? It just wasn't working. Have you ever prayed particularly with somebody who's supposed to be joining with you and walking with you in the call and the destiny of God, it just wasn't working. It was like that bit of puzzle that wasn't fitting. And when, at the end of the night, I said, I don't know what's wrong. I just don't feel. And you know, you sense things in your spirit, which is your inner man or heart, your spirit, where the Holy Spirit lives, sometimes feels like, this isn't good, this isn't working. It wasn't that she's bad, it's just it's not right. And let me tell you, if it's not right for you, it's not right for them. And it wasn't her destiny to be with us, even though everything seemed to fit. And that's where most of us fall. Because we really think, because everything fits, it should be God. And sometimes we just need to step back and say, Lord, what are you saying? What do I sense in my spirit? Because I don't want to be walking the next years with someone who isn't called to be walking with us in the destiny of God. And on that trip, for the first time, we met Sandra. Now, the only problem with Sandra is she's Northern Irish. But we didn't know the plan of God. God had a right person. But she was working for a ministry in Northern Ireland. And she had all the gifts. I think we were quite jealous. We were looking at her going, wow, she would fit. But actually, no, that's not true. I wasn't thinking that. When we met, we the three of us all had this, like I suppose Elizabeth did when she met Mary, and she had this leap of joy that was unexplained, that God was in this. And this leap was just unusual. I was like, oh, you're interesting. Who are you? And she felt the same. In fact, she felt jealous of the bit of the puzzle that wasn't fitting in, that girl. She felt like, I wish I was her. 2 years later, can I just say, I was on the phone to Sandra because we kind of just kept up contact and said, oh, we've started a training center. And she heard the Lord to join the training and come here and eventually to start work with us. She is the bit of the puzzle that fit. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit who enables God's will to be done in warning us with what doesn't fit. Amen. And so we need inside information. Tell somebody next to you, you need inside information. It doesn't matter what areas of life, but you do. You need inside information. If God wants to bless you, does he want to bless you? That's the question. Does God want to bless you? Well, if he does, he usually sends someone. Did you hear that? If God wants to bless you, he usually sends someone. If Satan wants to harm you, he usually sends someone. Because Satan's got a plan to rob, kill, and destroy. God's got a plan to give you life and life in all its fullness. In other words, the best life, the best relationships, the best that suit the call, the person, and the destiny. And so when God wants to bless you, he sends someone. When Satan wants to hurt you, he sends someone. Warning. Wake up, church. Not to be critical, because that's the wrong heart. But to be discerning. There's different. To discern who God has sent. When Paul, if you think back at the early life of Paul, when he became a Christian, he was knocked off his horse. He had an encounter with Jesus, who he was persecuting, the church. And he realized that Jesus really was Lord. And in that process, it says he had like scales on his eyes and he had to be led around because he was blind for 3 days. When God wanted to heal him, he sent a man called Ananias. So Ananias brought healing to Paul. And often when God wants to minister healing to you, he'll send a believer to lay hands on you, to pray for you, and to see the power of God happen in your life. When Paul, there was a time, and I find it very encouraging, that the apostle, the great apostle Paul, at one point was feeling a little downcast. I think he was probably beaten, shipwrecked, tired, hungry, I think a little bit more discouraged than perhaps we would call discouraged. Okay, so there's levels. Some of us have a bad day. He had stripes on his back, bleeding. And he was discouraged. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, God who encourages the downcast sent Titus to encourage me. So when God wants to bless you with encouragement, he sends someone to you. Doesn't he? So we see that there are God-sent people. Look at the person next to you and pray that they're God-sent. In fact, believe they're God-sent. God sends people to bless you, to encourage you, to minister into your life, to heal you. This morning, I suppose you could say, God sent me to you to bring a word of God into your life, to wake you up to discerning right relationships. And we must recognize who God himself sends, because it carries with it the blessing, the affirmation, and the purpose of God. But we also need to recognize those relationships that take us off course. And I've known so many people go off course because they got into wrong relationships. I've known, particularly when someone becomes a Christian, a new believer, it's amazing the attack that comes on their lives to take them off course. And God will send the wrong relationship in. Sorry, the enemy will send the wrong relationship in to pull that person off the path. And some of those people are nowhere today because they got pulled out by someone the enemy sent. Turn with me to Galatians and we'll read something here about discerning who the enemy sends. How you doing? You hearing the Lord this morning? Even if you're not hearing, well, you should be hearing for you. But we need to be aware how to help others to discern who the enemy sends and who the Lord is sending. Okay? Galatians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth?" You were running. So you imagine, here we have somebody running their race for Jesus. Somebody cuts in and kept you from obeying what Jesus wanted. Now it doesn't say what cut in on you. Can you reading this? It says what? Who? It says who, what? Who cut in on you and stopped you? So people can cut across your path, your race for Jesus, and stop you running. Warning. Hello? Don't be a fool and just go along with them. Wake up to pray and say, Lord, I need to know Is this taking me towards you or away from you? And any relationship that takes you away from God is not God sent. You shouldn't have those people in your inner circle influencing your life. What God's purpose is to put people around you to love you, bless you, and encourage you in the race He's got for your life, so that you will continue to follow Jesus. If you have more non-Christian friends close to you, then I need to tell you that it's time to change. Because God wants you to be surrounded in your inner circle, the important relationships of your life, with believers. Preaching good this morning. Because they will influence you for good. And so let's wake up to the reality of the enemy's tactics in sending people to take us off course. And pray and say, Lord, I want to recognize who those people are so that I can keep running my race to win my prize. Thank you that you put good people, God people around me to run my race for Jesus. And of course the enemy uses times when we're discouraged or feeling weak. And he brings along a relationship that might look quite attractive in that moment. Maybe I'm speaking prophetically. And there's nothing good about the enemy. He only seeks to destroy your life. And he will hit you when you're down. And that's why it's important to surround yourselves with Christians who are running the race of life and are life-giving in their relationship with you. Romans 8, let's just look here. I trust this is a lot of wisdom coming into your life this morning to enable you to see and maybe even teach and train others how to run your race for Jesus. Romans 8, verse 5. Chapter 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. There are two types of people. Those who live according to the flesh and those who live according to the Spirit. Two types of people. That should help you sift God-given relationships. So the first type is flesh, those who have nothing of God on their minds. Those who just want to live for themselves and do whatever they feel and lead life according to whatever they want. And usually that's sin and compromise. So doing life and having relationships with people who are of the flesh is actually a wrong connection for you to have close to you. Because that person or those people will negatively influence your life. The Bible says bad company corrupts good character. So if you spend your life, all your friends, with people who are flesh, soulish, driven by natural desires, God isn't part of the picture, then actually it will corrupt your good character. It will actually steal from your life and the fruit, and eventually you may go completely off course. But praise God, we can always repent, like the prodigal. And come back to Jesus, say sorry, and he can redeem everything that where we've made a mistake. Yes? But it's best not to make a mistake so you don't go through the heartache of all that happens in those wilderness years of doing life without God's choice. And then there's the spirit people, or can I say faith people? Oh, to do life with faith people. Come on, that's who we're called to walk with. We're called to walk with believers who follow Jesus together. That's who we're called to work with and walk with. So faith people. Faith people have their mindset on what God wants. And they always speak about the purpose of God. And when you're having a bad day or a down day, they speak to the king in you. And they call that king out. They call Christ in you out. They see the treasure on the inside, even if it doesn't look good at the moment. Faith people always bring you out into the purpose of God. Now you can be like that if you have your mind set on spiritual things, not on natural things. You can be a faith person for someone else and call the king out of them. And so there are two types of people, and we are to be wise in making our choices with faith people. Just a couple more scriptures. Matthew chapter 7. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just read the word first and then we'll speak a little bit about it. Matthew 7 verse 15. Watch out, beware, for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Listen up, church. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Did you hear what Jesus said? By their fruit, you will recognize them. Now, I find Christians the easiest to fleece people on earth sometimes. And we get confused. Because I know we're called to love everyone, reach everyone, win everyone. But we can invite false believers, false prophets, false believers. There are false believers. Right? We can invite them to come in close to us. Now they are in sheep's clothing, which is why we could be fleeced. They look right on the outside, but they're wolves on the inside. So in other words, they want to eat you up. They want to destroy the purpose of God for your life. They want to discourage every good thing that God wants you to do. They want to bring you into compromise and lead you into their compromise. And Jesus, speaking about false prophets or false believers, he says, he starts talking about gardening and trees, orchards. And he starts to say, by this tree, you know it's a good orange tree because it produces oranges that you can enjoy. Now, by this bush that's full of thorns, if you go and find, try and look for fruit on it, you'll never find it. Because what's in its DNA or what's hidden on the inside is not the ability to ever produce oranges. So you can't go, and if you go to a thorn bush, if you've ever tried to put your fingers through thorns to try and reach something, you get hurt. And Jesus is saying, warning, 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 do not just believe what someone says. Look for the fruit of their lives. Don't walk with people who just have the talk and not the walk. Are you hearing God? Are you hearing the Lord this morning? Do not journey through life. Life is too important. You've only got one chance to fulfill the destiny of God on your life. Surround yourself with faith people, not flesh people. And don't be fleeced by people who say Jesus is Lord, but there's no fruit. Ooh, does that make us judgmental? No, it makes you discerning. Jesus said, beware, beware. In other words, wake up that false is out there. And wake up to it and make sure you choose people who are producing the fruit of Jesus. What's the fruit? It tastes good. It doesn't hurt you. It's actually enabling and empower you to live for God. Choose the right friends and you will come through to your destiny. If you're not married and you believe God's called you to get married, pray. Pray and say, Lord, I want your choice. I trust you to provide the right person. Because God's choice is the best choice. And we mustn't be fleeced. I find it amazing when Paul went to, where was he? I'm trying to remember. It doesn't matter. Acts 16. I don't remember where he was. One of the churches. And he wanted to have someone follow him. In other words, he wanted somebody close to him that he was investing in. And I believe that's another aspect of all of our lives. We should have people with us who God's called us to be with so that we can invest spiritually. We can teach them the ways of God. That's called discipleship. We're here to make disciples of Jesus. Everyone who is called to be a follower is to make followers. So it's not just about having nice relationships, it's about having a purpose-filled relational pool where you are investing in the next generation. And so Paul went to this church and he asked the brothers and the people in the church, he said, that young man over there, I'm going to sum it up, I believe this is might be kind of what he said. Is he faithful or is he a fake? Is he faithful or is he a fake? And he was speaking about Timothy, who Paul was to entrust much of his ministry to. And Timothy was a young apostle. He was being trained up by Paul to be a pioneer and church leader. And Paul didn't just ask God. He asked people in the church. Now, before you make any important decision in your life, ask God, but definitely ask people who are godly in the church. Because those big decisions, you might hear things about those people you didn't know about when you were looking at the cover of the book. Because the cover might tell one story, but the book itself might tell you another. Which is why we need godly people who see the fruit of one another's lives and say, hey, they're faithful. They're not a fake. They're not all talk. They are walking the walk. And you can have him on your team because he is going to prove faithful. And his fruit is good. And I do believe each one of us in the church should have a good name. I believe people should be able to ask any one of us and say, oh, what are they like? Well, they're always here when they should be. They're faithful, proving it by what they do. They always invest time in prayer and in the Word. They know the Word. They know the Lord. You can trust them. We should have a good name, a good testimony in the church because we are the family of God. God's called us to be part of a family. This is our family. And people know you in the family, don't they? And so I pray more than anything that we won't be fleeced, that we would recognize the false without judging, but be discerning and move away. Because I will not allow my destiny to be hijacked by the wrong people. And you've got to be able to say no to some people. Isn't it hard? Isn't it difficult for people who are wanting to crowd into your circle to actually say, do you know what? With wisdom and love, but this just isn't going to work. It just doesn't work for me. Or just distance yourself a little bit, because what's important is you keep what God has called you and what the people God has called you to be with, to walk with. And this is essential for your destiny. Now, I believe we need to celebrate this morning the God sent. The ones who God sent. They're already part of our lives. Those Ananias people who've brought healing and truth into our lives, who've prayed for us. Those who encourage us when we're downcast. Don't we all need that? We need God-sent encouragement. People who are God's answer to bless us. But we also need to step back a bit and say, is this thorns or is it fruit? And I want to pick on that bush, not keep putting my hand in to that sharp place. I want to walk with those who God's called me to do, to walk with, and to not be deceived. And before I pray for you, and before we pray together this morning, there is a wonderful scripture that says, God delights in the prosperity of his servants. Now, we think often when we hear prosperity, we think money. But actually, there's a whole lot more important things than money. And that's God and God-given relationships. And he delights to prosper you as you serve him. And I believe that if we believe that God has the right and the best for us, and we trust him with all of our hearts, lean not on our own understanding, acknowledge him in all our ways, he will direct our paths into the right relationships, both life-giving and relationships where we can make disciples who will last and run the course like a Timothy. I want many Timothys. And we should be looking at our lives to say, I need a Timothy. I need to see people who I can train up and teach them everything Jesus has taught me, so that I can invest in the next generation of believers. Relationships. There are right people for the right plan at the right time, and we need inside information. Let's stand together.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.